We believe it's important that you know what you believe. That's what we believe here at Daleville Christian Church. One of the things we believe at Daleville Christian Church, it's so important, as a matter of fact, that it's today's message topic. But our affirmation of faith today is from Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness, and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. The reading of God's Word is from Luke's Gospel, the fourth chapter, and we're not reading the whole report of Jesus' confrontation with Satan, but just the first four verses of that fourth chapter. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Every week in worship here at Daleville Christian Church, since 2011, we have utilized statements of faith. Historically, the Christian churches in the United States have resisted using such statements of faith, usually because the claim is they're written by human beings. However, our affirmations of faith are different. Our affirmations of our faith are taken straight from the Bible. There is evidence in the Bible that the apostles used affirmations of faith, and some of those are what we use as affirmations of faith. Remember, in the days of the apostles, there were no books, only scrolls, no Bibles. The Bible had not been put together. And even if you had a complete set of what would become the Bible, not everyone in the congregation would be able to read it. Fast forward to the 21st century, Daleville Christian Church uses affirmations of faith every Sunday in the worship service. We use close to 20 of them, and they are listed for you. We repeat them, we use them over and over, in the hope that we all will eventually memorize them, or at least be able to finish a sentence when prompted from God's Word. I feel they're one of the most important elements in our worship service. When I record the sermon for the internet and our church webpage, as I am doing, I include the statement of faith for that Sunday. Doing that broadcasts to any listener what it is we believe at Daleville Christian Church, and sharing the affirmation of faith also demonstrates that we hold to the Bible as the foundation of our faith, since those affirmations of faith come right from God's Word, the Bible. And that's where today's sermon is going. Since we do affirm our faith, why do we do that? Why is affirming our faith so important? There are several reasons why being able to say what we believe is important, and even more important, knowing the source of our affirmations of faith is essential. If nothing else, if you were asked what it is you believe, you can at least say, "Well, I'm not sure what I believe, but I do know that it's in the Bible." Good for you. Even if you have trouble articulating what you believe, you do know where you can go. You do know where you need to go to be able to state what it is you believe. There are three primary reasons as to why you should know what you claim to believe, and then I'll mention some important secondary reasons you should know what you claim to believe. First, our God wants a relationship with us. Our Lord knows us, and our Lord wants to be known. We were created for relationship. Our elder last time mentioned this at the communion table. I remember hearing this essential part of our relationship when I was in college. To know the Lord our God. I heard it in a sermon recorded on cassette tape, I must add. That's how long ago that was. The sermon was from the prophet Hosea, and I remember it to this day. I'll read the King James Version because that's how I heard it. From the book of the prophet Hosea, Hosea chapter 4, verse 1, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land." The prophet goes on in verse 6 of that same chapter, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee." And then the Lord goes on in Hosea chapter 6, verse 6, "For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." Jesus himself would repeat Hosea 6:6 to the scribes and the Pharisees, "For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." The controversy God has is that his people do not know him. And knowing God is more important than doing the things we think God wants us to do. Knowing God is better than making an offering and a sacrifice. That is how important it is to know our God. But this idea of knowing our Lord God is not found only in the prophet Hosea. The prophet Jeremiah states, this is what the Lord says, "Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches, but let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, for in these I delight, declares the Lord." Our God wants us to know him. Our God knows us. He made us. Jesus reminded us that the hairs of our head are numbered for God. He knows us that well. A little bird falls down dead, and God knows. Are you not of more value than the birds? Yes, you are. God knows us. God wants us to know him. Seeing as how Hosea saw the ignorance of God's people concerning God, our God stated that in the future, the promise is, we will know the Lord our God. Jeremiah 24:7, "I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. They will be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me with all their heart." Our Lord God wants us to know him, and our Lord has left us his word that we might know him. And this knowledge that we have of God will lead us. This knowledge, this what we believe, will lead us. Jesus will say to the crowd, "The one who hears my words," this is Luke 6:49, "the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the storm struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete." Knowing God's words is foundational in a very real sense. Jesus said in John chapter 5, "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life." John chapter 6, "The words I have spoken to you," Jesus said, "they are full of the Spirit and life." And when some disciples left Jesus, Simon Peter answered Jesus, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. So we should know our Lord, know our Lord's words. This is a good reason to use our affirmations of faith each week. Then we can speak truth about our Lord God. We can have life through Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God. Another reason to know what it is we believe is because of our enemy, Satan. Satan knows what Satan believes. Satan is not confused, although Satan wants us to be confused. Satan knows what he believes, and what Satan believes is not true. The Bible says he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. John the Apostle praises a person named Gaius in a letter. 3 John, it gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. And in another letter, the apostle states, 1 John, if we claim to have fellowship with the Lord and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. When Satan confronted Jesus and tempted Jesus, Jesus spoke with Satan, quoting God's word. Jesus responded each time, "It is written." If Jesus relies on God's word to face down the evil one, should we do less than that? Now you should notice that Satan also quoted God's word to Jesus, so Jesus had to respond with God's word, the authority. Again, all the more reason for us to be able to state what it is we believe on the authority of God's word, the scriptures. Our enemy, the devil, will lie to us to get us to turn from our God. God's word, which is true, can work to keep us true. We can have a firm foundation so that no matter what storms come, our lives will stand. The word of God is a part of the armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6. And I don't know if you've seen a sword fight. The Bible says that the shield of faith will quench the flaming arrows of the evil one. But we know that we also defend ourselves with the sword in our hand. We're to take the sword, which is the word of God. That way we parry and defend ourselves from the attacks of the enemy. But it isn't enough for us to believe in God and know what we believe, except that what we believe leads us. Annabelle Beam, of whom we have spoken a number of times in the last few weeks, the Beam family from Texas, but she, with others, have felt that they have experienced death and have said that they understood the Lord to tell them that they had tasks that Jesus wanted them to do on earth that they could not do in heaven. One pastor said, if you're not sure what our Lord has called you to do, go to God's Word. God's Word tells you many of the tasks that we are to work on now. Loving God, loving one another, encouraging each other in the good deeds that we have in front of us to do. As a part of our affirmation of faith today from Titus, it states, Jesus gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Please notice the order of events. Jesus gave himself to redeem us. Some versions say Jesus rescued us, and after we are rescued, we are his, and then we are eager to do good works. The salvation is already won first by Jesus, then we respond with good works. The good works don't lead to salvation. Good works follow salvation. Salvation first, then good works come. If you think good works lead to salvation, you put the cart in front of the horse. No, the order is important. Salvation, redemption, rescuing by Jesus first. Then we can do the good that God wants us to do. And those good works we find in the Bible, helping the poor, helping the orphan, helping the hungry, the thirsty, teaching children, teaching adults, proclaiming the good news, helping to heal people of every ailment, of every distress, because our God is a healer. Friends, I remind you that Satan, our enemy, knows what he believes. You might also have noticed that the Muslims of ISIS also know what they believe. Although I should add quickly that there are plenty of Christians who have done evil knowing what they believe. But we are protected from them if we will know what we believe from God's word. I had a cousin who was a member of a Christian cult. My cousin's group eventually was brought to trial because my cousin's cult group didn't believe in medical care, and a couple of the cult's children died. Eventually, the leader of the group, who said that he would never die, did in fact die. Jesus said, "It is by their fruits you will know them." There will be false leaders, Jesus said, Matthew 24, "For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive." But the apostle responded to those so-called Christians in 1 John, "I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray." I am writing to you. The written word, God's word, can help keep you close to God. It is important for you to know what you believe. Jesus said in the verse we looked at last Sunday, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I also want you to know what you believe, because what you believe can comfort you. When I visited people who are in pain from illness or their chronic condition, I'm able to remind them that even as they did not volunteer to suffer pain, we serve a God who volunteered to suffer pain just as we suffer pain. And our God in Jesus Christ suffered even to death. That's in our affirmation of faith from Philippians chapter 2. In verse 8 it says, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." And we've talked about the pain of that kind of death. And so the faith that we affirm, if we have committed it to our heart, reminds us that even in our pain, we are not alone. Even if we are the only one lying in the hospital bed, we are not alone. For our Lord is with us in our pain and will be with us through our pain. Our Lord has already shared our pain. We are not alone. Our faith, knowing what we believe, can comfort us in affliction. Know what you believe. Know God. Be blessed and be a blessing. Amen.